Dr. Amin, if you would, bring us up to date on the research and analysis in identifying cancer clusters that you and your students have been involved in and which was first published back in 2010.
Yeah, in 2009, I started with one of my graduate students a study on pediatric cancers in Florida. And then in early 2010, in January, it was published in a journal called Pediatric Blood and Cancer. It's a very well-known journal for several pediatric associations for cancer, not just USA, but also in Europe. And that covered data from the Florida Association of Pediatric Tumor Programs, or short FAPTP, and it covered data from the years 2000 to 2007. We identified significant cancer clusters on brain tumors, on leukemia, on lymphomas, and in general, all pediatric cancer types combined. And at that time, I contacted the Florida Department of Health very early on, before the publication even occurred, to share with them the findings. And then the Florida Surgeon General called me and my co-authors to Tallahassee to a closed meeting with her staff for 3 hours. This was sometime, it seemed, I think it was in March 2010. We met for 3 hours, and it didn't lead to much, actually, after that. Maybe my expectations were set too high. But then I went back and continued my research. And last year, basically, we got data from the same association, FAPTP, which is a pediatric cancer registry that is mandated by the state of Florida since over 30 years, maybe 40 years now. So I asked for permission to get new data, and we got data ranging from 2000, 2010, that's 11 years, and I basically did the analysis with my students. I gave a talk at a conference here at UWF, and there happened to be one of the keynote speakers, Dr. David Banks from Duke University, who was also on the board of that American Statistical Association, or ASA. And he got this idea, actually, then, to extend this, to validate it maybe by extending it to include other researchers. And he asked me if it's okay that I share with them the data. So I contacted FAPTP, the director of FAPTP, Brian Calkins, and asked him for permission to share the data because they gave it to me. And he said, it's fine. And I shared it with the ASA person, Dr. David Banks, who then put together 4 research teams across the country who were willing to pretty much stop their research they're working on. They're all scholars. And 4 research teams then independently from me analyzed the same data with their own methodologies. They included the theory, the computations. And these are real scholars on disease surveillance and cluster analysis. So that way we had, in the end, 5 research articles total, all appeared in the new ASA online journal called Statistics and Public Policy. They can be freely downloaded. And then the ASA chose a prominent scholar as a discussant of those 5 articles to see how they differed, if they differed, what were common findings. And they chose the well-known professor of biostatistics at Emory University. His name is Lance Waller, Dr. Lance Waller. He is very well known for this. And he wrote a discussion article that actually today appeared online too. And he compared those articles. I think this is where we are right now, basically, that there's an external discussion of the five. And about a week ago, I think, the ASA then issued a press release built around Lance Waller's review article.
Well, let's talk a little bit about what the conclusion was. It showed higher than expected rates of pediatric cancers in two Florida areas, mainly the Miami area, the Miami metro area, and an area west of the Everglades.
Yeah, I mean, what is typically done in epidemiological studies, and these scholars who have been involved here actually mostly work in medical schools. They use to disease surveillance, cancer studies, and so on. There's a term called relative risk. Relative risk is pretty much comparing the cancer rates in one area that you seem to find as a focus point, if you like, a hotspot, they call it, to the rest of the state. And each state, based on its age distribution, the sex distribution, and race, has a certain expectation. If all things are equal, how many cancer cases occur per type each year? And a cancer cluster in this case would mean in a certain geographical area that the number of cases seem to be much higher than what is expected to be found in this area if nothing really has changed there. So this is referred to as a cancer cluster. I should say that I had an article in 2010, as I mentioned, and I identified Miami for leukemia cluster and Miami again for lymphomas. But the brain tumors was more close to, in Palm Beach. So comparing the five articles, it seems that Dr. Lance Waller has concluded, based on his experience with all these five different methodologies being used, that common grounds really are in Miami, what I found, of course, also in Miami. And some of the authors broke things down by race, by gender. But overall, what people found shared really with the strongest evidence was in the Miami area.
Can you share with us a little more of the specifics of the findings?
Well, I mean, in my case, I looked at, first of all, what we refer to as spatial clusters, meaning spatially on the map, just geographically, when you average the cancer counts across the 11 years. On top of that, we also looked in my team at what's called spatiotemporal or space-time interaction. We looked for a possible spiking in one particular year or more. We did not find that. We're the only ones who did this in the teams. We had far more time. I spent the last 2.5 years on it. The others maybe spent 6-7 months. So I could do many, many more things than the rest could do simply because of the time. And we found basically these clusters in my study pretty much south and southwest of Lake Okeechobee. That is what was there. The different methodologies resulted in clusters being larger or smaller. I was the only one using the software that's called SatScan, which is endorsed by the National Cancer Institute on their front page for disease surveillance studies. And I've been working closely with its founder or creator of this software. His name is Dr. Martin Kulldorff, who has been to EWF, by the way. He's from Harvard University. So I always had him as a friend to help me in the modeling, to check my work always, and advise me on many, many things. I was very, very privileged that I have such a scholar to advise me. The other teams were also quite distinguished. In fact, one team was led by a really well-known national, international scholar. That's Andrew Lawson. He's from University of South Carolina. He has 5 texts on spatial studies. In a sense, he is the expert. And I know that Kulldorff and Lawson have worked together, published together. So I had access to both. And it's a real privilege that we have such people publish on this. And some methodologies are more like looking at the rates and filtering out any noise, and that may result in some small areas being highlighted on the map. Whereas the approach I used was with SatScan is to identify the larger clusters. That's why if a non-statistician had looked at the results of the five articles, he or she may have incorrectly concluded that, oh my gosh, they're all so different. That's why it was so important to find a scholar who could understand all those different five methodologies. They're really advanced algorithms. The theory has all been explained in these articles. And Dr. Waller did a really good job going over the technical aspects of each methodology used.
How important, you say it was, it's been critically important to this research to have Dr. Waller look at all of it. Has he also really broadened the exposure of this research by the fact that he is weighing in on it and has written about it?
I really hope so. The situation with cancers, not just in Florida, really, that officials quite often are quite cautious to comment on things. And I think one of the main purposes for this specific project was to verify, to combine information, to combine expertise, to have an unbiased overview of the findings so that the outside world can really benefit from such a unique study, which really is unique, to have six articles published on the same exact data at the same time. So I think that is more, I think the importance is not just Dr. Waller's input, but the collectiveness of all the information, that you have five articles plus a sixth one from Lance Waller, which is by itself an education of people getting, let's say, a PhD in biostatistics, epidemiology, to have access to all those side by side. But of course, it's also the findings, and to be able to say, well, maybe let's start looking at the Miami area first, because that's where several articles seem to have pointed in their conclusions, Miami. And so it was really a very, I would say, very reserved and conservative overview, far away from sensationalism, absolutely nothing like that, more like a true scholar, using very cautious words, asking very nicely and politely and for the health departments to please take a look, to benefit from this input. So I think it's a beautiful way where you see scientists work together to help hopefully identify or refute why pediatric children's cancer rates appear to be higher than expected in certain areas in Florida.
And so Dr. Waller is saying, help people take a look at this and do some more research and use this information in your health policies. What is your hope, Dr. Amin, for what your research can result in?
I really always have felt that more needs to be understood about cancer, cancer clusters, and I've always felt that there is no real national level overview of the situation. I think of it first as a statistician. I'm not an epidemiologist, and I always limit my conclusions to those of a statistician. That is not final. So my hope is, I've always been, I feel you get a better picture of your specific location regarding cancers if you can compare it to other areas in the USA. Because what may appear to be high in your neighborhood, maybe when you compare it to the whole country, is not so high. Or what you may see in your neighborhood as average may actually be quite serious when compared with other states. And I always felt I did not understand why is it so difficult to obtain, as a professor of a state university, data from my own state to study cancers And I've never, ever, no one has pointed the finger on at anything or anybody causing anything. Because what we did in this study is what's called disease surveillance. We just do a surveillance to see if cancer rates are roughly similar, elevated. And I think my hope is there'll be some public policy making in a positive way, not so much to point fingers, as I said, but to help everybody so that we have an even healthier USA for everybody.
And we should point out that your research is gaining traction. The upcoming American Statistical Association meeting in August that will be held in Seattle, you will be presenting. There will be a special session just on this topic of pediatric cancer clusters in Florida.
Yeah, I'm quite surprised. I'm happy about it. But the American Statistical Association has an annual meeting called the Joint Statistical Meetings because there'll be other statistical associations also coming on board, such as the International Statistical Institute and many others. This was called the Joint Statistical Meetings, to have many, many thousand statistics people, scholars meeting in Seattle. And a special session has been created and approved, which is strictly on pediatric cancers in Florida. Some of the co-authors from each of those five articles will present their findings. And I think also Professor Waller will be there to discuss those to a large audience. And this having been last year, the first year for this journal, Statistics and Public Policy, I think there'll be a lot of attention and there'll be people coming from all over the world. And it's already mentioned online at the ASA online website. It's already mentioned there. And I think the idea is that you want to provide useful information to policymakers to help them. And if I may say, many years ago when I was still a student, I heard about the Three Mile Island incidents. And I was very young, and I remember reading that the probability statements or the risk factors were not evaluated correctly. They were not done by statistics professors. Then I remember that the U.S. government appointed a blue ribbon panel from the American Statistical Association to help out with nuclear reactors and so at that time. And which shows you how important the ASA is. It's a major resource of scholars and ideas that know how to best deal with data, better than any source anywhere, which includes also cancer data. Because that's what the field of biostatistics is really about. These are people who appeared as co-authors. They're in very well-known research universities where they have medical schools. Many of them work day in, day out with physicians, with epidemiologists. It's a part of biostatistics. And I think providing the very best information is just like, and free of charge, not even based on a grant. This is really totally free. And this means this is something people do from their hearts, believing in what they're doing, working hard, stopping all other projects. And I really hope in the end, I'm very much optimistic, in the end, people will benefit from it.
What's next for you? Will you continue this research?
In order to study the whole USA, and it could take forever maybe to ever get data for the whole USA in detail, I'm also using carcinogenic data from the EPA to study the entire USA. I just gave a talk in Chicago at the Association of American Geographers, and I showed the clusters in certain parts of the USA based on EPA data, on carcinogenic data. And that, to me, is also very useful until we have data for the entire USA on cancer. It shouldn't be a secret. It should be something to target. I am sure most of the USA looks really good when it comes to cancer rates. So if we really knew When I say we, hopefully those decision makers who have the powers to bring in the DEP, the EPA, the CDC, the health departments, to correct a few things here and there. And I really think that could result in great improvements for everybody living in the USA. And I have children. I very much care for them, my wife. And I first started out worrying about them. And they support me fully, especially my wife. And I just want this to basically be a team effort, not just mine, and to be able to show improvements when we take care of maybe one or two sources that may or may not have resulted in higher cancer rates. Usually it's shown a few years later that the cancer rate will drop.
Well, Dr. Amin, thank you, and good luck with your upcoming presentation.
Thank you so much, Sandra. Thank you.